Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, that we can humbly sit at your feet and open our hearts to your word. We know you're here. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be present. So let us see you high and lifted up. Let us hear your voice today. Let us acknowledge your presence as we sit and search our hearts and confess our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. My message, fellowship with Jesus Christ. Fellowship with family and friends enriches our lives and sweetens our earthly pilgrimages. But these relationships are more meaningful and complete when men and women have experienced the reality of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus invites us, you've heard it in the scripture reading, Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I stand at the door and knock. Arthur Maxwell in his book, Your Bible and You, said he didn't have to stand at the door, could break it down and come in. But Jesus, he said, no, he's too polite to do that. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and come in, God could have invaded your life without your permission, but he doesn't do that. Think of it. He waits to be invited in. I find that very precious. Fellowship to be meaningful and lasting demands that each partner in the fellowship have something of common interest to share on a continuing basis. To be a growing relationship, each must contribute love, trust, honor, and devotion to the friendship. This is the kind of dynamic heaven-earth relationship which Jesus calls us. For his part, Jesus shares with us his wisdom so that we can get the most out of this life. He shares his spirit and power so that we can live this life as he wills, and the future repletes with all the immeasurable riches of eternity. All of that is ours when we invite him in. He gives us hope, gives us power, gives us strength, and his presence with us continually. But what do we have on our part to contribute to this special fellowship? I'll tell you what we have. A life struggling with selfishness, once dedicated to perversity and rebellion, but now to be cleansed and transformed into the glorious likeness of Jesus Christ himself. What a contrast. Indescribable worthlessness on one hand, and incalculable infinite love, power, and glory on the other hand. That's what we've been offered. In our Lord's temptation, or invitation, there are four steps that he wants each of us to take, four practical steps. The first step into this special relationship is surrender. Any true relationship, a marriage, when you're entering into it, there are certain commitments you've got to make. There are certain things you've got to leave behind if you're really serious, if you're going to be genuine. So, the first step then is surrender. Jesus continually invites us. Proverbs 23:26. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. The mind and the will, long resistant to divine pleas, must be given completely to Jesus. Completely. Daily. And through His Spirit, He will work His will in us and change us so that we may stand free of guilt in this glorious liberty and peace. To choose to surrender, well, maybe most painful and humiliating to the proud in heart. I've experienced it. But at the moment of surrender, the soul will be flooded with joy unspeakable and a peace that passes understanding. I remember clearly when I was converted. I remember prior to my conversion and the life I now live, I used to gamble on my money daily. I worked in the city of London, in the west end of London. Every night of the week, I was out there in the discos. And I mean every night of the week. That's the past life. But when the challenge of the gospel came, and I had to draw a line, there was something I had to give up. I've lost friends, very, very dear friends, because of the gospel. But I've gained so much more. They couldn't enrich my life the way my life is enriched now. No association with them could have enriched my life. I repeat, to choose to surrender may be most painful to the and humiliating to the proud heart. I remember when I was working in one particular company, there were three of us in this office. And one young man from Pakistan, another English, and myself. And when they discovered that I wasn't gambling anymore, I remember going down to the post office, I think it was, and the young man said to me, "On your way, can you put a bet on in the betting shop for me?" I said, "Sorry, I can't." I said, "What do you mean you can't? You're passing the betting shop." I said, "Yeah, but I can't." He said, "Why can't you?" I said, "I don't go to those places anymore." And the ridicule and the names and the, you know, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" And so on and so forth. I said, "I can't." At the moment of surrender, the soul is flooded with joy unspeakable and a peace that passes understanding. Many, at the moment of decision, experience a pitched battle in the minds, robbing them of sleep, even appetite. But when the experience, of surrender to Christ is achieved, it brings such relief and rapture that is unspeakable. Frequently, new Christians start well, but enter into the new experience without proper understanding of and the meaning of surrender. Surrender is not a once-only experience. Think of Moses. Before he made that decision to turn his back on Egypt, he must have given it an awful lot of thought. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Everything was at his feet. All the riches and grandeur and so on. But to choose to align himself with the people of God, and all his mother had taught him, and the wonderful hope, that must have been a huge decision. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 said, "He reckoned that to suffer scorn for the Messiah was worth more than all the treasures of Egypt, for he kept his eyes on the future reward." Imagine the times he had to fall at the foot of the cross. But it stood him in good stead because he grew to love not only the Savior, but remember, he was prepared to allow the Heavenly Father to take his name out of the book if he was going to take their names out of the book of life. Take my name out of the book. That's how he had, you know, the kind of relationship he had developed and love he had for the people. Think of that. When we surrender to Jesus, we are proclaiming to the world that we have made him Lord of our lives. The state of continual surrender places us on a fellowship frequency with Jesus so that his Spirit can cleanse and regenerate and sanctify us. Day by day, as we fellowship with Jesus through surrender, we will begin to reflect his likeness to others. Our greatest desire is to become men and women after God's own heart. And the more we grow in the likeness of Jesus, we shall more and more realize our spiritual need. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 said, New English Bible Translation, "Fortunate are those who realize their spiritual need. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, English Bible. One writer said, "None but the spiritually poor will enter the kingdom of grace. All others feel no need of heaven's riches, and so they decline its blessings as not worthy of striving for." That sounds like Ellen G. White, doesn't it? Typical. I repeat it. "None but the spiritually poor will enter the kingdom of grace. All others feel no need of heaven's riches, so they decline its blessings as not worth striving for." They won't make the sacrifice. This thrilling born-again fellowship compels us. The next step, of course, is service. So this thrilling born-again fellowship compels us to tell others about the wonderful Savior. It is impossible for the born-again Christian to remain silent. It is impossible for the, if you have that relationship with Jesus, you want to talk about it. People will have to know it. It'll do something for you and in you. Like Paul and Jeremiah and others, becomes a flame with his powerful love that changes human existence. We want all the world to know what Jesus has done for us. It is this living flame of God's transforming love that will consume others for Jesus Christ. Knowing that mere professing can only serve Satan's purpose, genuine Christians witness in season and out of season to the joy of fellowship with their Master. In season, out of season. I remember those same fellows I told you I worked about, they thought I'd gone mad. Because at one point, there was I with the world. Now, my life was turned upside down. And it was during that same period that I read in the Messenger an invitation by the church to become a witness. I'd taken the Messenger to work and had read in there a call to active service. I've never been out of a job in my life. And up until that point, I had 5 jobs. I keep changing because something was going on in here. The Lord wasn't making me satisfied with working out there in the world. But I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what was going on. Until I read an invitation to become a literature evangelist. I do remember also, and I gave up the last job working on Regent Street, and they knew I was leaving. There are 3 partners in the company. One of them saying, Mr. Simon came and said to me, why are you leaving us? I said, you know, I'm going to do another job. I found another job. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sell books. He said, who are you going to work for? Tell me about it. I didn't know much to tell him. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to do exactly. I was invited to Swanwick, the training program, but I didn't know what I was going to do. And I told him, I said, I'm going to sell Christian books. He said, what do you mean, to a shop? I said, no, I think it's house. And he put his hand on his head and he was walking around. Oh, my word, how much are they paying you? I said, I have no idea. And he called his other two partners and he said, guess what Roy's going to do? And they said to me, when they could see that there was no way of changing my mind, said, we're going to leave your job open. And if you didn't get on, if you didn't like it, you come back. I think that job is still open. That job is still open because the Lord has blessed me so much. The Lord had blessed me so much. I was just living and breathing and Christ. The joy I've experienced in sitting around the fireside talking to families about the love of Jesus. How did I end up in this charity? Don't ask me. God will lead. He will lead you where He wants you to go. Witnessing becomes as natural as breathing. Serving God by relieving the stress of suffering humanity becomes the overwhelming purpose of our existence. That's exactly what we feel now. We're retired. We could sit back and do nothing if you like. Go on cruises, enjoy yourself. Well, he said, occupy till I come. Proclaiming the gospel becomes a priority. We have the answer that man is seeking, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what man is seeking. Ellen White said, those who reject the privilege of fellowship with Jesus Christ in service, rejects the only training that imparts a fitness for participation in His glory. Education, page 264. Do you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and do nothing to hasten it? As fellowship with Christ grows sweeter with each passing day, the Savior leads us into the next step, which is sacrifice. As rejoicing, growing Christians fully surrender to Jesus, we become completely identified with our Lord, His work, and His people. We recognize that the proclamation of the gospel, the promulgation of the gospel, is financed by the tithe and our systematic sacrificial offerings. We realize also that material blessings were given to man so that we would learn lessons of self-denial and selflessness by sharing with others. Knowing the infinite cost of our salvation, we are willing to make any sacrifice to enhance the kingdom of God on earth. No sacrifice is too great for our Lord. Ellen White said, all who follow Christ truly will wear the crown of sacrifice. I think that sacrifice needs to be reflected inside our homes. Inside our homes. I once preached a sermon and said to the congregation, look, Sometimes, even when you know you're not in the wrong, you should say, I'm sorry. Even when you know you're not in the wrong, you should say, I'm sorry. Find a path to peace. I don't think we do enough of that, because self is on the throne. Self is on the throne. And we don't want to be humiliated. We're too proud. Ellen White goes on. She said, in the rewarding atmosphere of the new earth, our greatest sacrifice will seem paltry indeed, but the joy of having given will color eternity with contented memories. I like that. I repeat it. In the rewarding atmosphere of the new earth, our greatest sacrifice will seem paltry indeed, but the joy of having given will color eternity with contented memories. Wow. We are now ready for the finishing touches of Christian maturity. Suffering. Suffering. That's a word none of us like to hear. Well, so we're now ready for the finishing touches of Christian maturity. Fellowship with our Savior in suffering. Some of us forget that the day we become Christians, we became Christians with a capital C, we have entered a battlefield. First of all, against our own sinful nature. I know that. Experience this every day. Every single day. What form will your suffering take? Ellen White again. Only the true Christian is burnished and polished through suffering. Others either curse their lot or apathetically resign themselves without mere hope and or meaning. But the Christian knows that to walk in the footsteps of his Lord involves misunderstandings, hostility, and much rejection in all aspects of his Christian pilgrimage. The suffering for righteousness' sake is our greatest test and challenge. Remember Peter? When the servant girl came and pointed the finger at him, and he couldn't take the fire. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. It was too much. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord understood and met him exactly where he was? Ellen White said when in the judgment hall, after Peter's denial, and then Peter's gaze met with the gaze of Jesus Christ, and all Peter could see was compassion and forgiveness, understanding. And he couldn't take that. He ran away and he wept. If we really feel sorry that we have not done what God has asked us to do in any area, and we are struck in the heart about it, the most wonderful thing is to come and kneel at his feet, because you know he's going to receive you. He's going to receive you. Suffering for righteousness' sake is our greatest test and challenge. We are reminded by Ellen White of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men. Fellowship with Christ in suffering is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. Desire of Ages, page 225. The chain is now complete. Fellowship involves surrender, service, sacrifice, and suffering. These are four beautiful steps that each of us must be willing to take as long as life shall last. Amen.